Welcome once again to Emerging Cricket. This is our interview series where we sit down for an in-depth chat with fellow cricket lovers at the frontiers of the game's new world. Speaking of the new world, we're joined today from Latin America by Craig White, Secretary at the Mexican Cricket Association. Welcome, Craig.
Thank you very much, and good morning or good evening or good afternoon to wherever you're listening from. And thank you very much for inviting me on.
Yeah, no worries, Craig. Always good to chat. So, first things first, Mexico recently hosted the Central American Cricket Championships. Could you tell us a bit about that?
Yep. So, Mexico hosted the seventh edition of the Central American Cricket Championships from April the 25th to the 28th. We had a men's tournament and a smaller women's tournament. The men's tournament was Mexico, Panama, Belize, Costa Rica, and the MCC. And the women's tournament was Mexico and Costa Rica. And for the men, the games between Mexico, Belize, Panama, Costa Rica were T20Is. And the men's tournament was won deservedly by Belize. And the women's tournament was won by Mexico. And we also had the ICC down. You know, they provided the balls for the tournament, and they sort of just kept an eye on things and helped us out to make sure it was run to T20I standards.
Right, so you guys organised the tournament and they contributed, administrative support. Is that sort of how it worked?
Yep, so the ICC, they provided the balls for the tournament, and Zubin Sukari.
Ex-Canada player.
Yep, a lovely, lovely, lovely guy. He came down to make sure, you know, all the paperwork was in order, you know, the standards were in line with the ICC regulations as well.
Yep, and with the expansion of T20 international status to all members, one of the changes that the ICC's made is to relax the criteria for a T20 international. So could you maybe explain what the differences are, and, you know, what's perhaps a bit easier to achieve now? For example, previously you had to play on turf wickets, but obviously you don't have to anymore.
So the games were played in Mexico City. The men's games were all played
to be a T20 international
turf wicket anyway, and there were two games that were played at another location, but we asked the ICC for special exemption because the location for the women's games didn't meet all of the ICC T20I standards. In this secondary location, the ground, you know, the boundaries were a bit smaller than the ICC standards, but that was the only concession.
Sure. So I saw the Mexican men struggled a bit. You only won a single game, but the women won the three-match series against Costa Rica 3-0, which was good news for you guys.
Yep, you're absolutely right. So Mexico men, they just won the game against Costa Rica, and the women took the series 3-0 against the Costa Rica ladies. But the standard of cricket played between Mexico and Costa Rica women was great. Costa Rica, it was their... So Mexico women, you know, they made their international debut at the South American Championships last year in Bogota. But in this tournament, it was the debut of Costa Rica ladies, and they gave a very good account of themselves.
Yes, and I saw that the MCC was also involved. So could you maybe talk us a bit about how that kind of happened?
So the MCC have been involved in, I believe, the last two editions of the Central American Championships going back to 2015. So, you know, the tournament is held every 2 years, and the MCC take part in order to strengthen cricket in Central America. So during this tournament, the standard of cricket that they played was it was really high. But when the MCC weren't playing, they held two workshops for the Mexico and Costa Rica women. Two short, but very high-level workshops in which they sort of taught, give the ladies a bit of high-level training. And after speaking to the ladies, when the workshops finished, they said that the training that they received from the MCC was, they felt so much better after it. But also just the way the MCC conducted themselves, there's so much that we can learn from, you know, the intensity on the field, their warm-ups, you know, their general conduct was fantastic. And there's definitely a lot that we can learn from to improve our own standards.
So I guess a level of professionalism, maybe?
Exactly, yes, that's absolutely right.
And I know you had a lot to do with, I guess, the administrative organisation side of things, and last time we talked, you were a bit stressed about it. Maybe talk us through, I guess, your role in running the whole thing.
So my role was, it was sort of behind the scenes, doing the admin, logistics, paperwork and whatnot. So I acted as the liaison for all of the teams. I did the paperwork for Mexico. I was the ICC liaison. I organized the hotel, the transport. And then I was just on hand just to make sure everything was running okay. But I think that when you organize a tournament, you don't really enjoy it. It's only after the tournament's finished, when you look back, you have that sort of satisfaction or relief that it's all over. Oh yeah, on Sunday when the tournament finished, I just felt so happy. I just felt relief. And I felt happy that, you know, we pulled off a good tournament and everything went, there's a few hiccups, but everything went, it went well. So what I don't, you know, I think people don't realize the amount of work and effort and time that goes on to organize these type of tournaments. You know, we're all volunteers and we do this because, you know, we love cricket. We want to see it grow and we do it on top of our own day jobs.
Yes. And I guess just back on the pitch, what were a couple of the best matches and maybe some standout performances from the players?
Well, I didn't actually see much cricket because I was just running around all over. But from what I saw, the final between Belize and the MCC, it was great. The standard of cricket was very high and Belize were the deserved winners. And for the men, my standout moment was in the final as well. It's when one of the Belize players, Garrett Banner Jr., he hit a massive six and it hit the pavilion. And the noise it made was incredible because they hit the metal, the steel frame of the pavilion, and the noise it made it was like thunder, and the crowd erupted as well.
And so you got a good crowd in
On the final. Yeah, we got quite a few in. Yeah, it was a pretty good turnout. And my highlight for the women, it was just seeing, so after the final game finished between the two teams, the Costa Rica and Mexico ladies, they did like a joint team photo. And that for me was just a really nice moment. Just seeing both the teams together, mixing, you know, they became friends. They were swapping telephone numbers, adding each other on Facebook. It was a nice moment.
Yeah, that level of connection, I guess, is one of the good things about associate cricket. Just on back to Belize, I saw there's a potential record that I wanted to flag with you. In Belize's game against Costa Rica, there were four players called Banner in the team. Can you confirm, were they all brothers or not?
Well, I know they are related, but I don't know if they're all brothers. I should have asked this as well. But yeah, when I saw the Belize team sheet, I wondered as well if they're all brothers.
Right, so we'll need to do some more digging because I believe that would be a T20 international record.
We should investigate that. I believe they are all related somehow, but I don't know if they are brothers or not.
And I remember you saying they had their trophy confiscated at customs when they went home.
Yeah, have you seen a picture of the trophy?
No, I haven't.
Oh, the trophy's like a big, massive, heavy metal thing. And yeah, the Mexican customs is what they did, because with Belize bordering Mexico, they got the bus from Belize to the Mexican border, crossed the border, and then flew from Chetumal to Mexico City. And they told me, yeah, the trophy got confiscated, and they had to call the Belize embassy to get the trophy released from customs. And I don't know if they have it back yet.
Oh, goodness me. The perils of associate cricket, eh?
I don't know if it was because of the metal of the trophy, the size, the weight. I've got no idea why they confiscated it.
¿Qué es el cricket?
Well, it would have been interesting to be a fly on the wall to see what actually happened there. Because like you say, you know, Mexicans have no idea what cricket is really.
One of the, I guess, good news stories as well to come out of this tournament was Ana Laura Montenegro. And she represented, she was in the ICC Americas Development Squad that played a couple of warm-up games against Canada and USA. Tell us a bit about how that sort of all came about.
Yep. So, well, that event happened last week. And what it was, the ICC Americas put together a joint women's 11 team made up of the best players from Chile, Brazil, Argentina, Costa Rica, Peru, and Mexico. And the idea was that this sort of joint Americas team would play the US, Canada, and Trinidad and Tobago as part of the ICC Americas Women's Qualifier between US and Canada. That was last week in Miami. And as you say, Ana Laura went to represent Mexico. So she'll be the first Mexican to play in an ICC team. And the way that came about was Zubin. He got in touch with me in March to tell me about what was happening. And he asked, would Ana Laura be interested? And I spoke to Ana Laura and she said she would love to do it. The Mexico Cricket Association, we paid for Ana Laura's flight, and the ICC Americas took care of the hotel, the transport, the food and the uniforms for the players. I mean, I have to say, the ICC, they do get a lot of grief and stick for some of their decisions, but they do a lot of fantastic development work in associate nations, which I think goes unnoticed a lot of the time. And I believe the event that they had last week was brilliant. Ana Laura came back so happy about how good the event was and how high quality the training was and how high quality the matches were. So hopefully the ICC will organise more of these in the future. Yeah. So in addition to the matches with the US, Canada and Trinidad and Tobago, Zubin gave the ICC America's women's team coaching as well. So the ICC America's women's team, they beat, so the game versus the US was washed out. They beat the Canadians. Ana Laura top scored in that game, and they lost against Trinidad and Tobago.
Yeah, so good performance all up.
Yeah, I think it was. It looked. I mean, I've seen the photos and followed the social media updates, and it looks to have been a very successful event. And hopefully, the ICC will continue doing events like these in the future.
Moving on to Mexican cricket more generally, you're the secretary with Mexican cricket. So I guess what's your main role there? What do you primarily do?
My primary role is, off the pitch, behind the scenes. I just take care of the administration and the legal, and I support the finances. And I just sort of just keep an eye on things to make sure we keep moving forward and everything keeps ticking along. Primarily administration, paperwork and things like that.
And how many people are involved with Mexican cricket in that capacity, on the admin side of things?
It's pretty much four people who sort of run the MCA, the Mexico Cricket Association. There's Ben Owen, our chairman, Tarun Sharma, our club captain, myself as secretary, and Revan Ankad, who is the treasurer. So it's essentially us four who do the lion's share of the day-to-day work. And we have other people who take care of the kids' cricket, the women's cricket, regional development, membership fixtures, things like that.
Right. So I guess it's fair to say you're all very busy.
Well, yeah, these are sort of full-time jobs in themselves on top of our day jobs. So what we are trying to do is raise enough resources in order to start paying people to do these jobs, so we can move away from our other jobs into cricket full-time paid, so we can dedicate all of our time to it.
Oh, that's the dream, mate. I've seen that you are very interested in Mexican cricket history, and I've read a couple of articles that you've written about it, and I believe you're writing a book. So I guess what can you tell us about the history of the game, I guess, over the years?
So the first recorded game that we have of cricket in Mexico dates back to 1827, which is only 6 years after Mexico gained independence from Spain. And that would make cricket the oldest European sport in Mexico, older than football, baseball, boxing and things like that. So 1827 is the first recorded game of cricket in the country. And it was brought over by the British, and it was played by the British throughout the 1800s. In the 1860s, we have a photo of the Emperor of Mexico playing cricket. And from the late 1870s until the revolution in 1911, we had a sort of golden age of cricket when the government, Mexican government, because of its association with the UK, the Mexican government sort of bought in and supported cricket. The Mexican aristocracy played cricket, and we had in the year 1900, the first cricket league was established in Mexico. And that was the first sports league in the country. And in this league, we had a true geographical spread of teams in Mexico City, the states of Veracruz, Pachuca, and Puebla. So that was like a golden age of cricket. And then the revolution came along in 1911, and cricket sort of died off, really, because there was the British left the country. Cricket came back in the 1960s, and it's sort of just been slowly developing since then.
So it was always a very elite sort of game?
Yeah, well, as you say, yeah, it was always a very elite game. It never spread to the common people, really, the general public.
I remember you mentioning that, I think it was, you said it was Fred Truman played a game in the 70s in Mexico. What was the story there?
Yeah, he was here in the 1970s with, I believe it was a British Airways touring team. He was here in the 1970s, and there's a gentleman called Lincoln Clark. He was very instrumental in restarting and developing cricket in the 60s and 70s, until the present day, really. Lincoln is from, he's from the Caribbean, and he played against Fred Truman. He batted against Fred Truman when he was here. And he took Fred Truman for four. He had a few words for Fred, giving him some advice about bowling straight. And then in the 1985, we had the England cricket team, the England football team here as part of their preparations for the 86 World Cup. And there is a photo of Gary Lineker and John Barnes there playing cricket at Club Reformer as well.
Oh, wow.
So that's sort of just a general... a very brief, fast, general overview of cricket in Mexico. As you say, yes, slowly but surely, I'm writing a book on the history of cricket in Mexico, and I'll be doing that in English and Spanish.
I look forward to it.
Because the interesting thing here is that a lot of Mexico's football clubs, I guess this is the same around the associate world, a lot of Mexico's football clubs began life as cricket clubs. Nobody knows that.
So moving on to the present day, talk to us a bit about, I guess, the structure and the organization of the game in Mexico now, in terms of clubs and leagues and men's and women's and format, all of that sort of stuff.
Sure thing. So the format that we play here, it's T20. And we can say that cricket is the most strongest in Mexico City, which is the capital, Guadalajara, the second city, and Monterrey, the third city. And Mexico City, Guadalajara, Monterrey, they each have their own men's leagues. In Mexico City, we have a women's team. And in Guadalajara, they are developing a women's team. In Mexico City, we also have a kids team. And also, we are developing a kids team in Guadalajara. And so, in addition to the local leagues, we have a national championship every year between Mexico City, Guadalajara, and Monterrey. And this year it will take place it's this Saturday and Sunday. It'll take place this Saturday and Sunday in Guadalajara. And generally, more or less, the cricket season in Mexico runs from the end of October until the end of May in the dry season. And the Mexico City League has just finished, and that is played between four teams: Reformer, Aguilas, Aztecs, and the Mexico City Cricket Club. So there's four sort of club teams in Mexico City. There's three club teams in Guadalajara and two club teams in Monterrey.
And I guess is the national championship, the champions of each of those leagues playing each other?
No. What it is, the local leagues, from their leagues, they form a national level team. So for example, in Mexico City, the league is four teams. And the best players from those four teams make up the Mexico City team. And it's the same in Guadalajara and the same in Monterrey.
Sure. So that's the recreational level of the game. What is the pathway for a talented player to get into the national side?
Yep. So what happens there is, at the international level, Mexico takes part every year in the South American Championships and every 2 years in the Central American Championships.
Which we just had.
Yep. And the selection process for that is Tarun, who is our national captain. He picks the national team. He has his own matrix of doing it. He picks the national team with input from all of the captains from around the country.
So I guess the club captains sort of double up as scouts as well in a way, don't they?
Exactly, yeah. They are like the scouts. They give the input into Tarun, and they also make up the selection panel. For example, I have nothing to do with the national team selection. I don't play. I just do the work off the field to make sure that we sort of keep running.
And the for the women's team, because I guess there's only the one club side in Mexico City. So how is it? Just basically that is the national team?
No, we have the women's team. We have, if everybody sort of turns up, we have 30 players, and what we do is we have trials to pick the women's team and also the men's team. So what happens is, Tarun will pick a draft squad of, I don't know, 15 or 20 guys, and then we have trials to whittle down the numbers. And it's the same for the women's team. Caroline Owen, who is the women's captain, she will pick a draft team of who she thinks should be in the squad, and then we will have trials to sort of whittle down the numbers and make sure the squad picked is the correct one.
Sure. You mentioned that you primarily or entirely play 2020. I know the ICC is pushing quite hard for T20 to be, I guess, the development format to promote the game internationally. Is that related to your decision, or is it more a matter of practicality?
It's practicality. Well, it's both, but mainly practicality, because we only really have the ground for 4 hours on a Sunday afternoon. So we have to play 2020, because where we play in the Reformer Athletic Club, we have to share with the football. And obviously with football being the most popular sport and it makes the money for the club, the football will always be paramount over the cricket. So we have the ground from 2 o'clock on a Sunday for 3 or 4 hours. So we have to get it to 2020.
Yeah. You mentioned that new team that you're starting in Guadalajara, the women's team. Give us a bit of an update on the project.
So Guadalajara, every weekend they have women's cricket and kids cricket now. And currently they have 8 or 9 ladies playing now. And the idea is that when they have enough for a team, we will start up regular games between Mexico City and Guadalajara.
And with the women's and the kids cricket there, I know in a lot of emerging countries, the club players often have a sort of double role, both club playing for their own, I guess, leisure, but also having a bit of a responsibility to act as almost as development officers. How much does that happen with the Mexican game?
It's exactly the same here. We don't have any coaches. We can't afford to pay for one. So our men's players, they help train the ladies and the kids. Because we would love a coach, but we just don't have the resources to be able to offer it.
Yeah, of course. And still on Guadalajara, I remember you saying last time we talked that a lot of the players over there are drawn from the Indian workforce, because there's the technology sector is big in Guadalajara. So I guess how many players do you have that are, I guess, developed locally, and how many you'd call them expats?
So in Guadalajara, they have 3 men's teams, and they're all Indians, because of, you know, the reason that you said, you know, Guadalajara is a very popular location for Indian IT companies to access Mexico and Latin America. So there is a large Indian community, and these guys have got cricket off the ground in Guadalajara, and they're doing a great job. So yeah, all of the men's players, I would say, are Indian, but they are starting to bring through a few Mexican men players. They have Mexican kids playing and Mexican women playing. So the development of the, you know, women's cricket, kids cricket, and bringing Mexican players through, it's still very early in Guadalajara, but what they've achieved in a short period of time has been great. Their players give up the time to train Mexican women and the kids. They have at present 8, they train 8 women on a weekend, and the numbers are slowly growing. And they also have, I think they said 6 or 7 kids that play as well on the weekends. So slowly but surely that the numbers of local players are growing.
You presumably would have some plans in place to try and, I guess, break into the mainstream Mexican community. So I guess what's in the pipeline in terms of development projects on that front?
So we have a number of things going on there. So we have just begun the legal process to become a federation. And by becoming federation, it means that we would form part of the Mexican Olympic Committee. We would be recognized by the Mexican government as an official sport. And we'd also be part of the Ministry of Education. So that would help raise the profile of cricket in Mexico. In addition to this, we also have a number of schools who have expressed their interest in introducing cricket into their curriculums as well.
So you've got the, I guess, the administrative side and the playing side with the schools project. So say you do kind of get into the schools and then you show the kids cricket and maybe they like it. What next? So where do they go if they want to play cricket?
So we take cricket to the schools if they like it. In addition, we have on a weekend, on a Sunday morning, a kids cricket program at the Reformer Athletic Club. So we have the schools cricket and we have a cricket program at Club Reformer. And also we have an under 13 team and an under 15 team. So there is a pathway for kids who want to play cricket to start playing at schools and eventually go through into the kids' national team.
You mentioned a couple of times Club Reformer, and that sort of seems like the home of Mexican cricket in a lot of ways. That's yeah, exactly one right, of the, yeah. I guess, common challenges across the emerging cricket world is finding and keeping hold of grounds, especially for countries with maybe a very big developed city with not much green space. So how are you guys going? So you've got Club Reformer, but are you looking for more grounds, or is that sort of not really on the agenda at the moment?
We do. We have to look for more grounds, definitely. Club Reformer are great, but we also need to find more grounds. In Guadalajara, the guys play in the University of Guadalajara, and in Mexico City, in addition to Club Reformer, we are looking for Mexico City is it's massive, and Club Reformer is great, but it's not the most accessible of places to visit. So we are looking for other grounds around Mexico City that are a bit more centrally located.
Yes, yeah, so just on that idea of, I guess, accessibility, I've spoken to a couple of guys from Japan and Philippines cricket, and in both of those countries, you know, they've got Tokyo and Manila, which are sort of mega cities that dominate the country in a lot of ways, and they've made a conscious choice to set up cricket outside the capital. So in the Philippines, it's Dasmariñas. In Japan, they have the Sano Cricket City Project, and it's sort of a bit counterintuitive, but they've found it easier to grow the game at a local level, sort of outside the big city.
Yeah, that's what it's Mark Featherston in Brazil, that's what he's done as well.
Yeah, so I guess I was wondering if you guys are sort of thinking along those lines as well.
No, we aren't sort of thinking along those lines. We are trying to expand, or we are expanding, I would say, in Mexico City, but the way it's just, the cricket has just evolved over the years. Mexico City is the center of cricket here.
And so you mentioned the federation status and how that'll help you in some, I guess, administrative ways. And you did say that would allow you to join the Olympic Committee. How important is Olympic participation for sports in general in Mexico?
It's massive. The Olympics is just... It's hugely, hugely popular here, and getting cricket into the Olympics, it would do wonders for our exposure. You know, Mexicans just seeing cricket on the telly, it would just do wonders for us. And then knowing, okay, well, if I want to play there, I can play it here. It would be great. It would be fantastic.
And in terms of resources as well as exposure, is there government funding available in Mexico for Olympic sports?
Exactly. Yes. If you're part of, I don't know what the amount is. It very much depends on the sport, but if you're part of the Olympics committee, you do get some support from the government, yes.
And I guess this is a common refrain again across associate cricket, but that I guess just the funding is tight, as we can see with, you know, four volunteers sort of running the whole show. So I guess where does your funding come from, and how do you go about sort of stretching it as far as possible?
So we have sort of three main avenues for our funding. We have an annual grant from the ICC, we have our membership fees from the players, and we also have an annual sponsorship from Tech Mahindra, which is an Indian IT company, and they came on board with us last year, and they've continued their sponsorship into this year as well.
Yes, I believe they were sponsoring you throughout that Central American Championship.
Yeah, they sponsored us at the South American Championships last year. And as you say, they sponsored us at the Central American Championships last month as well. We are trying to approach Mexican companies to secure like a local or Mexican sponsor, as you were. But again, it's difficult because, again, it's just the cricket is not visible here. Nobody knows what it is. So it's quite hard to sell a product when nobody knows what it is.
Yeah, of course. One of the other, I guess, challenges for setting up cricket is it can be quite expensive to play at a sort of proper, you might say, in inverted commas, level with, you know, specialized equipment and facilities. So how are you trying to keep it affordable for, you know, trying to attract players to the game?
The majority of our male players, they have their own equipment, but what we also have is equipment that we have in our storeroom that anybody can use. We have the bats, balls, helmets. So if you want to come and play, we do have it. We have equipment that we loan out. So you don't necessarily have to have your own equipment. You can use the equipment that we have. Because like you say, it is. I mean, the equipment, we have to import everything. There's nowhere to buy equipment here.
I think, were you saying last time that whenever someone goes overseas to a cricket playing country, you sort of ask them to bring back some gear for you?
Yes, we do. We just ask them to if they can just pick up a few bits and bobs for us, and we will reimburse them when they get back.
You do a lot of work with the women's team, and in several other emerging cricket nations, we've seen that developing the women's game is a priority, and the ICC has made it a priority as well. Is Mexican cricket doing the same? Are you sort of, do you see the women's game as perhaps a way into Mexican society?
Absolutely, yeah. I totally agree with what you said there. We are, well, all the men's cricket is it's important as well. Let's not forget that. But yes, we are making, or we are giving, women's cricket more of a priority. Women's cricket is a way to making cricket more mainstream in Mexico, I would say. Just for example, our women's team, it's all Mexican, but as a result of them playing, their husbands, their partners now want to play as well. They've expressed an interest. So it's just like it's an anecdotal example, but it shows you it's a way to getting more guys involved, more kids involved. Anna Laura, we spoke about her. She's a teacher, she's a sports coordinator at a school. She's introduced cricket into the curriculum. She has kids playing cricket, so it is a way to getting more Mexicans involved in the game.
Yeah, so they're sort of taking the development into their own hands a bit.
That's right, yeah. So at the start, the guys were very much involved in getting the women's team off the ground. But as they've learned the skills and the knowledge, we are still supporting, but we've taken a step back to let the women sort of take care of their own development and how they want to shape the team. So we are still supporting, but not as heavily involved, more from the sidelines, and we're here for whatever needed. But it's like they're very much in charge of their own development and where they want to go. They have their own subcommittee that they meet every couple of months or so just to discuss and decide on women's cricket issues. Of course, they keep us in the loop of what's going on and stuff like that. But yeah, they do have their own committee where they sort of, discuss, shape, take decisions and whatnot.
And just going back to, I guess, broader development projects, you have a couple of plans underway where you're trying to build a team, I think, in Mexicali, and you have a pretty big name involved there with Jamie Harrison. Could you talk us a bit through that?
Yes, we are trying to start cricket in Mexicali, which is right on the border with the US. We asked Jamie, if he could help us with any contacts in the sort of California, Arizona, which borders Mexicali, to sort of develop cricketing connections with these places. And he sort of just gave us a few pointers on who we can speak to and things like that. And it's ticking along quite nicely. Yeah, we have a guy in Mexicali called Bradley Higgins. He's a Zimbabwean fella, but he's been in Mexico for years. And he's got a Mexican interest in Mexicali. He's got a place to play, and he's got Mexican kids and Mexican guys interested, because Mexicali's baseball is very popular there. And he's been able to make the sort of the connection between cricket and baseball.
Yes, that reminds me a bit of the South Korean team, actually. They have a lot of converted baseballers, so I wonder if you guys are sort of thinking along similar lines.
Well, we've tried that. When we first started the women's team, we spoke to the manager of a local baseball team, and he kept promising to bring baseball players to the women's cricket. That never got off the ground, it never materialised. But we have sort of managed to convert the tennis players and American football players to cricket.
American football, interesting.
Yeah, we've got Anne Julie Ladron. She's a well, she plays international rugby, international NFL as well, and she's made the conversion very quickly to cricket. And Tanya, she's 17 or 18. She's a tennis player, but she's made the switch very quickly and very easy to cricket.
That's really interesting because it reminds me of, I read a while ago, Andrew Nixon was making the argument that despite, I guess, baseball sharing more superficial similarities, tennis was a better option for sort of transferable skills.
Yep. Well, you can see that in Tanya when she bowls. You can see the tennis action in her. It's really good to watch. Actually, it's very good. She bowls correctly in cricket, but you can see like the sort of the serving action come out. It's very hard to describe, but it is just beautiful to watch. It's very mesmerizing. It's great.
Interesting. I also remember you talking about Cancun being another development target. Give us a bit of an update? What's going on there?
Cancun Cricket Club, and that was sort of like in Mexicali, Guadalajara, and whatnot. That was a club set up by South Africans and Indian guys. And again, they have their own little league. They play amongst themselves, and they are trying to develop kids in women's cricket as well. Yeah, our chairman, Ben, he spoke to a couple of Australian guys last year on holiday in Playa del Carmen. He gave them the contacts to buy equipment. They have got their own equipment, and yeah, they are trying to sort of get cricket off the ground there as well.
Hmm. One of the things that often can help, I guess, emerging cricket nations is support from the established full members. So have you guys approached any full members for assistance or even more developed associates in the region?
Yes, just to give you an example, for the Central American Championships, Cricket Canada, they provided the umpires for that to make sure the tournament was umpired to a high standard. That's just one example. But we have sort of spoken to our chairman, Ben. He has very good connections with West Indies cricket, and he is hoping to approach them to see how we can work together. But obviously, in the Americas, it's quite tricky because there's only one full member, and it's the West Indies. Whereas Asia or Africa, there's more than one full member. In the Americas, it's only the West Indies.
Yeah, of course. So you have spent a bit of time in the nets as well as in the office, as we can see from your Twitter feed sometimes.
Was that my chucking action? Yeah.
Yes. What, I guess, from a technical perspective, what's the standard of play for the ladies team, and what are some of the games that they're working on and that they're looking to improve and develop?
I would say for the ladies, the bowling and the fielding, it's absolutely fine. It takes care of itself. But the batting is a little weak. They are getting better, but there's two main issues with the batting, is that they tend to get bogged down and can't rotate the strike. And also, they don't really know how to defend properly. Those are two issues that we are working on. They are getting better, but there's still a bit of way to go. And I guess maybe that's an issue for women's cricket across the world. If one or two batswomen don't fire, the total will be quite low.
Yeah, that's certainly something that is, I guess, a recurring problem at that level of the game, yeah. So we've spoken about the cricket scene as it is now, and a couple of, I guess, things that you're working on. What's the long-term strategic vision, the 5-10 year sort of plan? Where are you trying to get to?
In the next 5-10 years, we would love to get to Argentina's level, where they have cricket well established in schools. They have an under 13, under 15, and is it under 17 or 18 team? They have cricket played in various centres, men and women, and the majority of players are Argentine or locally or homegrown players, as it were. It would just be great for us to get to that level. That's what we want to do. It's the first step is to become a federation, to get the infrastructure in place so we can grow. That's one area. And two, we need to raise more money in order to pay people to be able to go into schools in order to do the outreach. Because at the present, when you rely on volunteers, we don't have the time to take off work and to go into schools. So we need to raise the resources, the money, to be able to pay people to go into schools, do the outreach, give the coaching sessions, and do all of that. And again, as well, what we need is access to more grounds. It's fantastic that we have Club Reformer. They are great to us. It's our home. But because we are starting to grow, we can't always get a hold of the pitch when we need it, because the football will take precedence because it's the most popular and it makes the money. So we need more space. We need more space to play to accommodate the growing numbers.
Football, yeah, it is the national sport in Mexico, so I guess for the foreseeable future, cricket's always going to be a much lower priority. You've lived in Mexico for a number of years now, so I guess maybe you have a bit of insight into what elements of cricket you can try and sell to the Mexican people, and what aspects of Mexican culture fit well with cricket, and So how to bring that together?
Well, I would say that after football, baseball, it's the second most popular sport in Mexico. And really, the principles are the same. So how we introduced cricket to our women's players was to, you know, try to explain it or try to show it in baseball terms. And then as you go along, you bring in the cricket terminology, the cricket terms. And that has worked really well. And in doing that...
One of the, I guess, big scary things about cricket is just all the weird and wonderful terminology.
Yeah, no, we introduced that just bit by bit. You know, you don't want to overload people with all the terms and all the laws at once. So as we've gone along, we just, you know, tell them another law here, another law there. So gradually they are picking up the laws and the rules as we go along.
And as they are all Mexican, I remember you saying you don't have many resources in Spanish to try and bridge that gap.
No, we do. Well, the ICC recently produced videos for us in Spanish, also Portuguese and things like that. So the ICC are starting to produce resources in the local language. And we have videos in Spanish now and also training materials in Spanish.
Yes, and you were translating some of them, weren't you?
I did translate a few, yeah, but now we have a good body of Mexican players now. They have sort of adapted cricket to the local context and, you know, adapted cricket to Spanish. So this has helped us a great deal because they can explain cricket better in Spanish than we can. They can, you know, they can make the sort of adaption, conversion into the Mexican context better than we can.
And you have been involved in Mexican cricket for a few years now. What would you say would be your, I guess, happiest or proudest moment within Mexican cricket?
For me, it would be getting the women's team, starting the women's team, and just seeing how it's grown and developed over the last 2 years.
And just to sum up, I guess, where are you looking to see Mexican cricket in the next year or two, the sort of, yeah, immediate short term?
The immediate goals, yep. What I want to see us become a federation, and I want to see a women's league start in the next year or two. So those will be on my wish list, to become a federation, to start a women's league.
And finally, when can we expect to see Mexico in the World T20?
We don't actually know the pathway for the qualification for the World T20. I believe it depends on the number of clubs you have locally. I'm not sure what the criteria is, to be honest, to be able to give you an answer. Yeah, I mean, of course, I would love us to, because I did check, I believe Mexico men and the women are ranked in the 40s in the World T20I rankings. And I did hear, I don't know if it's true, I don't know if this is true, I did hear that perhaps the winners of the South American Championships and the Central American Championships would have a playoff between the two to go through to the Americas qualifier.
That's interesting, because neither of those are fully run by the ICC. So it's interesting that they're sort of using these non-official events into the official pathway.
I mean, I don't know if that's true. I heard it. It may or may not happen, but it's something I heard.
It'll be very interesting to see where that goes. Thanks a lot for your time, Craig White from Mexico Cricket, and we look forward to hearing from you again in the future.
You're very welcome. A pleasure to speak to you.